Yeah, so we're gonna be short staffed forever. So if you could just work yourself to death, that'd be great. This meme, referencing the classic 1990 comedy movie Office Space, is a joke. But I bet many of us can relate to this idea of working frantically hard, doing the work of multiple people with no end in sight. This meme speaks to the fact that our society favors the kind of capitalism that can lead to us being defined by our work and the title we hold. Not to mention the fact that our worth is often determined by our productivity. The meme becomes a lot less funny as we realize the truth of it. In our society, where this form of capitalism is favored, there is an ever-present need to be productive, to do, do, do. There is always more to do. There is an understanding to not, quote, waste time. There is even a saying about not allowing us to sit and do nothing. An idle mind is the devil's workshop, and idle hands his tools. At what point do we get to just be? To do nothing, to rest, maybe even take it as far as taking a nap. My cats sleep all day. They are experts at napping. Felines know how to rest, and they are perfect models for this important behavior. For a cat, the big move in a day is to get up, stretch, maybe bat a toy around for a bit, annoy another cat, go grab a bite to eat, or head down to the litter box. They might do all of those things during one of their brief moments of alertness, and after that, it's either back to the lap of the human they just left or off to a different spot to engage in more nap time. Even when these lovely creatures are not napping, they tend to be in a state of rest. There is calm to them as they lope into the kitchen for a snack or move to a new location to snooze. Not to say cats don't have their active moments. It is not unusual for one to jump out from behind the couch and attack one of the others. Those moments are loud and full of intensity, loud growls and hissing, leaving us humans to wonder how no one ever comes out of those fights of scratches or bite marks. Moments after the hair flying fight, they slink off to their spots and are soon snuggled in, looking ridiculously comfortable, as cats do. And they are once again off to dreamland within moments. Because cats are experts at rest. With these models of rest living in my home, I have slowly come to learn the value of rest. This newly found value is in stark contrast to the demands of capitalism. Instead of being rewarded for making healthy choices and including rest in our day, we are made to feel our calendar needs to be full at all times and that we need to always be doing something. And if we can do it with very little sleep, even better. Why are we impressed by that? A cat certainly wouldn't be impressed by that. I still don't sleep the best, but I have learned to rest. I have stopped getting out of bed to do something just because I'm awake. I have learned the importance of being. When I wake up too early to get up, I make the conscious choice to stay in bed. The idea is to allow my eyes, my body, even my mind to simply rest, to do nothing. I start by doing a simple body scan, checking in with each body part, noticing what I notice, making no adjustments nor any judgments. Next, I begin to focus on my breath, counting my inhales and exhales. This strategy soothes me and it keeps difficult thoughts away, thoughts that would likely send me down the rabbit hole of thinking, problem solving, self-judgment, and all the tangents that entails. My goal is to not engage any of these thoughts, but rather let them float past like interesting cloud formations. As I move further into my resting state, I feel calm. I let the counting trail off. There are so many more ways to rest and so many more opportunities to be busy. In this rushed world of productivity, it is clear that resting is a privileged state. Being able to stop the noise, to sit still, and allow peace to enter our exhausted bodies is a gift that we must each find a way to give ourselves, even if it's only for a few moments before we start the car.
Today is Mother's Day. It is for sure a day filled to the brim with a wide range of complex feelings. For those of you who have complicated or hard relationships with mothers or caregivers, for those of you who are grieving a mother who is estranged or no longer alive, for those of you who long to become parents or who are grieving infertility or the loss of a child, know that we honor you and this complexity today. I was someone who always wanted children. I knew from a young age that I wanted to be a mom, but that my journey would be different than many people's journey to parenthood. I knew that adoption would likely be the way that I would create a family. And throughout my 20s, I watched my friends and my cousins have children, and I felt all the feelings about that. Happiness for them, certainly, but also fear, jealousy, anger at my own situation. The adoption of my two boys has been the most precious gift that I could possibly receive, and I am eternally grateful for the chance to be a mother. And so I say this with a lot of awareness of my privilege. Holy moly, I am tired. I knew that newborns don't sleep well. I knew to expect sleepless nights and fatigue when they were babies, but I was not totally prepared for the non-stop exhaustion that would come with being a parent, even beyond the baby years, especially this past year. Holy moly is right. This past year, as a full-time parent and a full-time worker, during a worldwide pandemic with almost no options for support, the family, the friends, the community that we rely on to come and share the workload of caring for kids, during the pandemic, that village disappeared. And wow, it was hard. My heart goes out particularly to single parents. I don't know how you did it. During the height of the pandemic, it felt like our world was divided between people with too much time on their hands and those longing for any time at all. I have so much empathy for those who were lonely this year, who longed for the touch of another person, who felt bored and tried to fill their days with activity. I can only imagine how hard that was. But if you had children at home this past year, that was not your experience at all. It was a whole different kind of struggle. Too much touch. No alone time. No time to get things done. It wasn't worse or better. It was just a different kind of struggle. Now, I saw this meme recently, and it made me laugh. Here it goes. It says, "It seems unfair that the people who want to go to bed have to put to bed the people who don't want to go to bed." Now, ain't that the truth? It feels like a glitch in our evolutionary system that those of us who have less energy are required to care for and keep safe those who have more energy. We need rest. Whether you're working outside the home or not, whether you are volunteering for various organizations or not, whether you are parenting or caregiving for children or not, we all need rest. Now, I've always been a person who enjoys sleep. Even when I was a kid, I didn't really mind going to bed. I'm incredibly lucky that sleep usually cooperates with me. I don't have too much trouble going or staying to sleep. I have, however, throughout my life struggled with restful sleep. I toss and turn. Sometimes I talk or laugh. I get up occasionally and do things while I'm still asleep. So I wake up more often than not feeling more tired than I was when I went to bed. The comedian Mitch Hedberg had a joke about the stress of sleeping and dreaming. He said, "I hate dreaming because I just want to sleep. I'm fast asleep, and the next thing you know, I gotta go build a go-kart with my ex-landlord." That joke feels all true for me. I just want to sleep. I don't want to work so hard. But that first part, when you crawl under the covers, allow gravity to pull on my weight, to settle my head in my pillow, I love that part. Our bodies need rest. We are mortal, physical beings. We cannot do it all. We cannot survive at the pace of life that our society deems successful. The Reverend Sarah LaWall recently wrote about the need for rest. She wrote, quote, "Our culture does not revere rest. Our culture reveres work, productivity, outcomes, results, benchmarks, strategies, growth, targets, profit." Even in the nonprofit sector, all of this is true, minus the profit. We live, she writes, in an extractive system designed for this purpose, to take labor for the sake of goods and consumption and profit. Even in what our society might deem the noble professions, even those who find their work meaningful and fulfilling are not exempt from the cultural messaging and pressure. End quote. This cultural push to go, 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 do, 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 is part of the very foundations of our society. Thomas Edison spoke of the burden of sleep. Though it was a waste of time, and he bragged about needing only 4 hours, despite being well known and apparently well photographed for taking power naps. Benjamin Franklin wrote, "How much more than necessary do we spend in sleep, forgetting that the sleeping fox catches no poultry, and that there will be sleeping enough in the grave. And the dehumanization of enslaved people was accomplished in part by the denial of appropriate rest. It was this realization and others that led Tricia Hersey to found the Knapp Ministry. Hersey was on the edge of burnout while in seminary at Emory University, and she began napping as a way to cope. She began to research the neuroscience behind sleep and rest, and she dug into the stories of her African ancestors, realizing that her ability to rest was something that they had not been given. It was a privilege, and she intended to use it and to teach others to use it as a form of radical resistance. Rest as an anti-oppressive act. She began hosting public naps, spaces with mats and pillows and a tea station and dim lights, a space where people would join together for an hour of reflection and rest, an hour of permission to nap, the same way that they might go to the gym or any other appointment. And thus, the Knapp Ministry was born. And Hersey calls herself the Knapp Bishop. The Knapp Bishop says, quote, "This is not just about naps. It's about trying to disrupt and dismantle a toxic system that says you're not enough. Our extractive economic system wants to use anyone's body as a tool for production. It wants you to work 100 hours a week if you can." She continues, "Rest is not something you need to earn. When I want to lay down and take a nap, that's a calling. I should listen to my divine body and wash away the concept that I should have to feel guilt or shame about it. It's toxic and not true." I love that she says that so clearly. It's toxic and not true. Think for a moment to yourself. Think, even if you like to nap or rest, even if you have the time to do so, think about the messages in our world and whether or not you really believe deep down that rest is a right for you and for everyone. That you deserve to be able to rest. That taking a nap instead of doing that thing does not make you a less worthy person. When I allow myself to truly sit with these questions, to contemplate the messages that I have internalized about rest, I have to admit that even though I love naps, there's a part of me that feels guilty. That when I have to say no to worthy sounding opportunities, and there are so many, so that I can keep my workload to a reasonable level, I feel some shame. Am I not hardworking enough? Am I lazy? I would never label other people that way. I encourage our staff team to take time off regularly. But when I do it, and I do it, I feel that tug of so much to be done. And the other siren call of rest is when we begin to attach goals to the rest itself. If I just rest a bit. I will be able to be a better mom. I will be able to focus more on my work if I can take a day off. These things are true. We are all more present and less cranky when we rest. But we need not rest to be better at working. We need to rest because we are human and we need it. The reading that we heard earlier from Thomas Merton talks about this impulse when it comes to activism, to social justice work. He says, quote, "The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything, is to succumb to violence." Thomas Merton is not mincing words. Violence is a strong way to describe this tendency, this insistence from our world that we do. But he's not wrong. It is harming our bodies. It's harming our spirits and the very fabric of our society when we are unable to have any moments of leisure or enough moments for connection and shared experiences. May Day was last week, and here in this country, it usually passes with almost no notice, even though it originated in Chicago. The anniversary of the proclamation from the precursor to the American Federation of Labor that the workday shall be 8 hours, beginning May 1st, 1886. This statement flew in the face of common labor practice at the time, with workdays 12 to 15 hours long in squalid and dangerous conditions. Mass strikes and worker walkouts around the nation followed the proclamation, hundreds of thousands of workers demanding a more reasonable workday, one that allowed for rest. Police cracked down hard on these walkouts and protests, and months later, as they continued, violence led to trumped-up charges against several protesters who were eventually hung for their crimes. The efforts of so many, the injuries and deaths of so many who fought for the ability for each of us to have time for work, time for rest, and time for what we will, reminds me that this is not some elitist goal. The need for rest is a universal human need, and it is, as Nat Bishop Tricia Hersey says, "When I want to lay down and take a nap, that's a calling." Follow that calling, friends. Consider ways to incorporate moments of rest, if not hour-long naps, into your day and into your week. 5-minute meditations at your desk, or a few minutes locked alone in the bathroom away from your children where you can run your hands under warm water. This Mother's Day, I encourage you to join me for a moment of reflection and meditation. Get comfortable wherever you are. Close your eyes if you feel safe doing that. Now imagine the ideal mother, whatever that is or feels like to you. Maybe this person that you're imagining is your own mother or another caregiver that you had of any gender, someone you felt safe with. Or maybe you need to imagine this person. Maybe you're imagining a goddess or God. Or maybe you need to make up a person entirely in your mind. The ultimate caregiver, calm and loving. Now I want to imagine this person cradling you in their arms. rocking you, rubbing your back, singing your favorite song to you. What would this person want for you, this ideal, loving caregiver? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they want you to have comfort, love, and ease. That they want you to be exceedingly gentle with yourself because they love you. Be gentle. Be gentle. Rest, dear ones. Rest, because it's anti-oppressive and countercultural to do that. Rest because it's the best way to recharge and enjoy your days. Rest because you are a human being and you deserve it. Rest. May it be so. And amen.